Hello and welcome to the Net That Horse special. So there's no game week associated with this. It's just a meet the manager with late riser Pranil, our friend. So I'm just going to bring him in for the haulers. There's 42 people already live waiting. Looks like that forfeit's coming out sooner than I expected, Pranil, isn't it? How are you, mate?
I'm doing good. So excited to just join you, boss. I've been following you. I've been interacting with all of you at different times, and it's been great. I'm happy that NetThat Hall has, gotten onto the scene, and you guys have been doing really well. Also, want to say a big thanks to Hibbo out here, who took second half of the day off so that he could come and sit here and chat with us. I've known him for the best part of a decade, so thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
Couldn't muss it. Couldn't muss it.
It's great to see Sean back on that note. I guess a lot of people didn't know Hibbo. They've been asking what happened to Hibbo. Did he just have a falling out for you guys? But I'm sure they'll be very happy to see all four of us together and with Pranil, the first ever five person episode of Net That Hall.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to be back. I'm just going to read out a quick WhatsApp message that I've received from a friend of mine called Mickey O'Kane. So he texts me. I've held on to kind of Mo Salah for the last few weeks, and he texts me after the deadline for double game week 22, and it goes like this: Salah on the bench. Did you rule a transfer or miss the deadline? You need to hook up with the Net That Hall boys again because you have lost the plot. Well, thank you. I kind of thought this was a good way to break the ice and start the show.
But at least they're not it. Thinking that I've locked you away in the dungeon, Hibbo, for being naughty.
That was a famous.
I think my team would be going better if you did.
So I guess on that note, Chris, and Gabriel's is his as well. You've just made it from the school run, I take it. So to timestamp it for everyone, let's start with you, because I guess you're the furthest behind in the day to all of us.
Where am I? Well, it's 11:08 at night in Singapore.
You're at the end
what
of the day.
What day is it? Tuesday, the 25th of January. There we go.
And Gabriel?
Oh, I'll bookend that one. It's 8:09 in the morning here in the Sonoran Desert in Arizona. So I'm just clearing the cobwebs. And we would never let anybody fall out from the Net That Hall ship. So no worries about any fallouts.
Yeah, I think people just didn't see the episode where we announced, obviously, Hibbo had the new job and he's got a young family and content commitments. So he's had to step back on a permanent basis. But it's nice to have this little impromptu session coincide with you, Pranil.
The lesson is
like
never miss an episode.
Together. Yeah. Okay.
When we decided to do this chat, you mentioned that Hibbo might or might not be able to make it, and I just got into, I've got his number, I just WhatsApped him, I'm like, there's no way you're not making this, we haven't spoken, so getting on Net That Hall, we need to chat, and he's like, a day later, he was like, cool, let's do it, I've taken the half day off, let's do it.
Nice.
He didn't call me Hibbo, by the way, he called me fucker, he just kept me fucker. We need to make this show, fucker. And I'm like,
well, abuse is a common denominator on this show, so that's fine. Just ask Gabe last week what he did to me at the end of
how's,
the show.
How's that book coming along, Mariner?
Yeah. Oh well, which one? I'm with that idiot.
Well, I guess let's just do a quick shout out to if everyone wants to pick someone, I'll put them up on the screen, and we'll just alternate going around in the order. So from Chris to the right. So just quickly before we get into anything, I just thought, let's say nice turnout, let's just say, first of all. So thanks everyone who's here. Looks like we've picked a very good time to go live here, but taking half a day. Perfect timing. So do you want to start, Mariner, and then we'll just work through them?
Yeah, we've got Robin, we've got Nehal, we've got Late Riser here. Blue Danube guy. It's Danube.
No, Danube River. I know now. I've learned my lesson.
God's sake.
Julian as well.
We've got Dread in. Be seeing Dread soon at Mariner Fest. That's a big first shout out for Mariner Fest. I'm finally coming home.
And he's going to be top 100.
Yeah. There we go. 2 years it's going to take to get back into the UK, but we're going to have a get together. So if you want to join us and you're in London, come and join us. Sujit as well. Shavran and Nuclear Atoms. Who on earth is that?
No, on Twitter, yeah, I was talking to them today. So, everyone's come today, yeah. It's a big turnout from the start. People don't even know we're live yet.
Tom from Fix is in here.
Tom in, yep.
Gabe, Brass is in there.
Who else we got? We've
got fellow Gooner Mike helping. We got Javid Khan. The prodigal son. He's coming to Mariner Fest. So there's two Mariners there here.
That's right.
I'm going to read out what he said. I don't know, you don't want to shame yourself to the
podcast. Look at him crowing at the fact he's beating me in the mini league, but then he did actually caveat it saying I beat him 22 other weeks.
We've got Blue Knicks 99.
We have Marner, we've got Marner Jr., and then we've got Money Marner, which is Nima.
All three of us there, like father, like son.
So, yeah, Blue, so we've also got Blue Knicks. Let's rattle through them, Nima. Blue Jabbard's here.
Oh, Pras is here as well. Good to see Pras here. Yeah, he was at the last meetup, so good shout out to Podna. We've got Dan from FPL Way. Akib is here. He almost didn't make it on time. Good to see you, buddy. We've got FPL Banger, another kind of podcast who's a friend of the show. Definitely recommend them. We've got Natasha. Wow, there's a lot of it. Penguin is here. Okay, we've got FPL Overthinker John. Well, Mariner Fest is getting a shout out. Looks like Mariner, did you know there's already 20 people confirmed for your get together? And
I'm they'll be very disappointed when they meet me.
No, no, that's when I'm going to do the Manscaped ad. So
I am not doing
the demonstration. I'm
in a pool.
We'll put that behind a paywall, Mariner, and we'll have that video behind a paywall and raise some funds for charity.
No, so they got in touch. So I was very happy to see that. I'm hoping we can strike up a partnership with them. It was very very nice to see that we've made it to that stage where in FPL and football content, I feel like that's the gold standard. If you can get them on your show, you've made it as a content creator in this scene with 99.3%, what was it, male demographic on YouTube. I hope that there's some more women who feel comfortable to come to like the next meetups. Obviously, there was two last time and they gave me a quick message and said they were nervous the first time they went. It was their third meetup. And there are many women in FPL, and I think they shouldn't feel like they can't go to the meetups. Oh. It's definitely for everyone.
You've changed direction from like Manscaped and ball shaving to like kind of female rights.
I go off on a lot of times. This is what happens when I have wine.
Isn't
two,
that the same
PM.
Direction? Isn't that the same thing?
We got Geddy, good evening. Barry, see, I'll keep going quickly. We'll get us up to speed and then we'll carry on. Ignatius, Brian, nice to see you, mate. Akshat Dioli, good to see you, mate. Okay, Devindra Raj.
Always cracking. There's hundreds of you.
Yeah, there's so many. Okay, I finally caught them up. Okay, so Catfest, that's the last message I'm going to say. But basically, every month there's going to be a different fest. So when Pranil comes to London and when Bakar comes to London and the Wire Boys come, it will either be the Wire Fest, or if it's just one of them, then it will be like Late Riser Fest or Bakar Fest. But I don't know. What do you think? Do you want to come to Harrods with us, Pranil, if you come at the same time?
You can take Bakar to Harrods. Hibbo and me will go to
Harrods. For an afternoon tea, yeah.
I'm not going to Harrods. I'm from
Grimsby. I want to take some photos for the Instagram. And
I'm not going to Harrods. I'm from Grimsby.
He wants to.
I was going to ask about that. Harrods. Oh, we've got Rhinos as well. Just a little quick sneak shout out to Rhinos over here.
Ed Sander on the house.
Nice to see you, Rhinos.
Yeah, so I actually saw him at the December, one of the meetups. Again, it was fantastic. He had to go to Leeds that night. So imagine, he came to the meetup, saw Man City Leeds, captained, I think it was Foden, against Leeds. And he was kind of like not happy about the goals going in. Obviously, he's a Leeds fan. But he was there and it was great crack.
Yep.
That's what the community is all about, right?
He's somebody I'm always looking for on my timeline, trying to see what he's thinking, what his team is looking like. Because he's like the extreme version of the way I used to play the game because of what MJ is going to ask later. I'm not going to say I play the game the same way anymore, but yeah.
Oh, I like that. Okay, so we've got, I think that's everyone's shout. So let's get the mini league quickly up.
Right, okay, let's put the mini league up.
I know someone wants to see it.
Am I going to do this?
I can do it, but there's a reason, because you don't want to shout yourself out. That's why you're asking. So the real reason we're looking at
it. Look, let me start it off, because we've got an imposter. We've got an imposter, look. Los Polos Hermanos, Luciano Luca,
Party. You got to do that again. I'm sorry. It's Los Pollos Hermanos, man.
Oh, wow.
It's just Los Polos
Hermanos. I don't bloody care who it is. Gate Crash the Party. He's ranked 90 in the world. He's just appeared out of nowhere, and he can't have appeared from earlier in the game week because he's only got 19 points this week. nearly as bad as mine with 26, right? But look at this: Los Polos Hermanos, Luciano Luca Rosso, 1,563 points, official ranked 90 in the world. Very well done, sir. FPL Milanista second, Obaid.
He's a fantastic manager as well, yeah.
1556 and 151st rank. A very aptly named team name next, Payne in Diaz. I feel that personally. Ross Mason. Well done, Ross. 1551. And then closely followed up by the brothers Grimsby.
I know, this is Mariner himself.
44, and I've dropped 100 places, or 90 places, unfortunately, without King. I captained Dennis. What a asshole.
Chris, I'll pause at this point. What are you genuinely going to be happy with come game week 38?
Now. Top 50.
Top 50.
Not even top 100. Wait,
so if you get top 100, you won't be happy?
No, I'll be beautifully happy.
Okay. No, but what's that threshold? What will make you happy?
What you've got to do is you've got to look at it and say, how many points am I going to get to a certain point? I gained 40 points in 1 week with the Bruno thing. Of course, that was a freak week. You're not going to do that every week.
I feel like I missed that, though, But not often. I'll disagree with you,
but because I think the way the season's going to go from now to the end of the season, nearly every other game week is going to be a double game week. And if you look at recently, the Bruno Ronaldo swing, if we look at Bowen Antonio...
I could go the other way.
But I think there's going to be maybe 50% of the weeks are going to be very swingy. So there's going to be the chance that, I think if you're way behind, there's going to be a chance to make ranks. So I think people that are feeling that their season's maybe done, don't give up hope. Mm. You know, and the same for you. You can shoot for the stars. Like, you know, it's...
Yeah, but I think for me, that as I was mentioning off air earlier on, Hibbo, was just us on. I've been quite highly ranked all the way through the year, and I've been playing quite conservatively. It's only really towards around, I think it was about game week 17, where I started to take a few chances, and I went Foden and Watkins very early, and they both paid off. And then, you know, then obviously the Bowen captaincy, which paid off, with a big haul, and then obviously you've got Bruno with the haul. And that's really where I've jumped. But to be honest with you, you're absolutely right. It's chaos at the moment, isn't it?
Mm.
It's just... So it's hard to say. You mentioned, Pranil, where I'd like to finish. I mean, obviously, I want to finish as high as I can. I'd love to just hold where I am equally, you know? But you've got to aim. You've got to aim, right?
Would you be happy with 999 right now?
Yeah, I think... Look, When you look at it at the end of the season, you'll be delighted with that. But I'm sitting now, stage, yeah. I've got to shoot for it. I've got to go.
You have to, yeah. I think it's right. It's what Hibbo said to me in, you know, the Euros, I think it was, or no, Champions League, in the fan team Champions League. I was like in the top 30 or 40 at some point. It was at £40,000 tax-free. He was like, look, you'd rather just like win a few like dozen pounds less, but maybe win like 20K cash. He was like, just go for it. You might never be at this rank again, right? How many managers, bar Pranil, who's obviously, he's been in that top 200 three times, right? So we'll get to that part when we talk about your rank history.
There we go, look. We'll get me off the screen.
Yeah, we'll go straight in. Yeah, we'll take you off the mini league.
Yeah, I just think, though, at the end of the day, it's going to be about, it's tiny margins. Look at this week. I mean, I saw the list of anytime returners. It's a... Abdul posts it, doesn't it, every week on Twitter. And I think there was, what was it, 15 on the list, and every one blanked.
Yeah. Shout out to him. He's in the chat, by the way. He's watching right now.
Is he? Oh, good.
He's in there.
Yeah,
I think he's at work. Yeah, he's sneaking in the background.
But I think I'd like to comment on. I think Hibbo brings up a really good point, and we talked about it in the philosophy of the week. Like when there's chaos, there's also opportunity. And these doubles that are going to be coming so quickly for different teams jumping around like that, we're gonna get unlucky in some and lucky in others. We're gonna hit others, and if you hit more of them, like there's a chance to jump in rank with these coming up since it's so crunched in the end there.
So do you think it leads to a more aggressive play style, Hibbo? Because now it could pay off, right?
I think you have to buy a ticket. Like if you look at the West Ham double, Cafal was a good buy. I bought him that week. Obviously, I captained Antonio, and that didn't work out well. You guys got Andy Bruno for the United double game week, and then Watford. It's looking like a very kind of trappy double game week, and I think every season we get the old trappy double game week. But I think you have to play them the exact same way.
Mm.
Dennis gets sent off. That's variance. You know, if you look at the two fixtures that they were playing, Norwich and Burnley, you would have fancied the Watford strikers in those, even though their form hasn't been entirely great.
What do you say about the manager being sacked, though? That's crazy, right? Like, we all captain players from what is really like a relegation team, I think. Because we were there and someone at the event, they were fuming. She was going to captain KDB. And she got to the event, had a few double gin and tonics for the like 2-for-1 offer. It was early afternoon. Deadline was 6 p.m. on a Friday. She changed to like a dentist with the rest of us. We cooked her into it. And then KDB called. And then she was like, next time I come to your fucking meetup, I'm locking in my team before I come. Yeah, she was not happy. I was like, wow, we really let her down. She figured it out. It was a trap double game week. So shout out to Deptford Diva.
But it was only a trap double game week in hindsight. Do you know what?
So you need to get the ticket for the lottery. Yeah, that's what I said to her at the time.
You know, like, say, looking at the Man United double game week, I held Salah. Holding Salah was just the most passive play in the world. I could have brought on Bruno for a free transfer. I probably wouldn't have captained him, but I kind of hummed and hawed in the chat for a week saying, I might buy Bruno, I don't know. And in the end, I was totally passive. But I think really, aggression can be rewarded, especially with double game weeks. And I think it's easy to look in hindsight and say, oh, that it was a trappy double game week. Like, you know, for all we know, King or Dennis could have went out and done great stuff. Norwich played great, in my opinion.
Also, it's so difficult to predetermine how you're going to play for the next 20 game weeks or 18 game weeks. So much of it is momentum. Let's say, you know, Mariner and myself, Captain Bruno, we're feeling like, okay, we're seeing the game well. We're feeling like we're making good calls. So the ability to back our own instinct will be greater. If the whole thing doesn't happen and Bruno gets 2 points and Ronaldo gets a hat-trick, both of us are going to be like, okay, no, maybe we should just go with the herd. Because what's actually happening is the psychology of the event that happened last week. It's so difficult to stick through that process over a period of 5 game weeks, never mind 18. So I don't know how you predetermine the way you're going to look at things.
So Mariner did this, months. You're right. So he just finally stopped being aggressive and then it didn't work. So he was being aggressive. He was backing his intuition. And then he finally went with the herd and then it came crashing down. And now he's a bit like, shit, I got derailed. So you're right. It's very difficult to...
This is an interesting point, and one that maybe we don't talk about enough as content creators is form as FPL managers. We do have form, right? We know when we're feeling it, our team's kind of humming. Mariner made that decision to be a little bit more aggressive a few weeks ago, and he was humming. He started climbing, right? And then when we're out of form, I think that's when we really need like each other, or that close-knit circle, right? That to help kind of get you back on track and
to
find
stop you doing tilt moves. Yeah.
Yeah. And I put stuff in the chat. It's like, I'll go like, I need a conservative manager because I'm impatient and impetuous. And I'll throw my team in the chat and we'll go, Nima, what would Nima do? But the conservative guy. And he comes in, he's like, hey, just do this. And it stabilizes my ship. And then I go back to my way. So it's a player manager forum is an interesting concept.
I just need to follow the bloody captain metric, don't I? Pick KDB as well.
It did. So Donna's really pissed now. Imagine I'm from Net That Hall and I promoted non-KDB, non-captain.
Me too. Went against it.
I think the play was still Dennis or King. You know,
I agree.
If King goes off now, I'll be so pissed. I was there. I saw the reaction, right? And I was saying before backstage, I couldn't believe the amount of trolls that came out on Twitter, right? And they were like, these guys are the biggest bunch of virgins I've ever seen. They're a bunch of nerds. They were fully going for it. There was some racist guy. Like, there was all kinds of stuff. And I was like, wow, this got like 150,000 views. And this is what FPL is all about. Like, so there was Dennis and King Captain is there. We had a good laugh. Like, 40 FPL managers just enjoying the game we like together. Who cares? Like, whatever side you were on later, there was a video of the Dennis captains all dancing to a live band. So people didn't see that end of it, right? They saw Harry going like this, and it becomes a meme now, and that photo is being used all over the internet. But they don't see the part where he recovers and that community brings each other back up. So anyway, those trolls, they've all been muted and the racist ones being reported. But I am looking forward to Mariner Fest and to Late Riser Fest, and obviously Gabriel's going to have to try and somehow get here, I think.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
This is what FPL is, right?
Before next season, like, yeah.
But this is what FPL is, right? It's just all of us together, like all over the world, 5 different time zones here right now, and just meeting up, watching the game, having fun. I was in a mini league group, right? And someone, I was like, look, I'm going to banter you. I'm here for banter and to like compete against each other and beat each other. And then they were like, no, I'm like here for advice as well. And I don't mind if the people in the group finish above me because there's only like 10 of them. And I was like, that's fine. But I want to be every one of you buggers in here right now. I want to be Chris, even though he's so high up. Like I hope that I can catch him, but I don't know what's going to happen, Pranil. What about you? Do you have friendly rivalries? Do you always want to beat them? Is that more important than anything else?
Of course. I mean, you talk about, try to be diplomatic when you say that, no, I don't look at the managers ahead of me and I don't want to beat them. But I don't think you're really competitive if you're saying that. Like, there's always somebody ahead of me that I'm trying to, chase down and have as a goal to beat. At the moment, it's my good friend Abdul, who's been doing really well, flying up the ranks. He's flying. But you need to set a target in your head. That's how you look forward, right? That's how you look ahead. That's the thinking in your head, I think. You always need to have that, I think.
Whatever rank you are, yeah, that's true. There's always going to be someone that you want to beat and be able to laugh at them at the end of the day. That's I'm just going to put it out there. Like, that's what this game's about. So, like, I believe in mental health too. But, like, if we're in a group together watching a game, we're going to laugh if one of our calls goes against us. Yeah. It's just good fun. Right?
I feel better when one of my close friends makes fun of me for a cause. I'm like, yeah, then I can laugh about it too. And then we can just let it all go.
Yeah. Exactly. You need to get it out of your system. Really good. All right, let's get Pranil's history up. We're going to ask you a little bit about your style. And then we're going to go to the Twitter questions shortly after. And then we'll just take live questions, I think, and reward all the people who came to watch live. And they can have a conversation with the five guests today. So obviously, the three ones that stand out to me are 2012, 2015, and 2019, where you were in the top 200 three times, right? And two of those, they were actually 30th and 77th, so top 100. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we were quite privileged to have you now when Marin is there at 350, trying to get into the top 100. I feel like whatever knowledge you embark onto him today and to the rest of the listeners, it might be what gets Marin his first top 100. Or is it your first top 10K or first 100?
Sorry, me?
Yeah, yeah.
First top 10K. Yeah,
exactly. Imagine what a way to arrive if he does that.
I've only been playing 4 years. I say it was all down to joining this new company where they're all mad keen on fantasy football. Now I think they wish I'd left.
I guess that's the main thing. So that's how I got started through work. Was that the same for you, Pranil? Like, did you start through a work mini league like me and Chris, or did you just like have friends you played with? Because that's how I got in. I was a casual for a few years and it was just work talk at lunchtime and stuff.
Yeah, friends I played with, in particular this one friend who, and we've been playing all kinds of fantasy football for the best part of 20 years, maybe. And it's just not football, right? Cricket is big in India as well. So, there's been a lot of friendly wagers per se, where we used to play. So it was BBC First, there was ESPN Fantasy, there was Super Selector in cricket. We played all kinds of fantasy football, and it's really competitive as well, right? And we always have something on the line. And then we stumbled upon FPL and it got really, really competitive. And it's eventually a lot about how tight your research is. A lot of people talk about, skill and all of that, but a lot of it is down to how much time you're spending on this game, how much you're on top of all the news that there is, how much you're grinding in terms of focusing, making a plan. A lot of it is down to that. And then everybody has their own way of playing the game and they stick to their style. But I think if you're not spending enough time in this game, I don't think it's possible to be consistently good if you're casual about it.
I was going to say, you can't be a casual. That's exactly what I was going to say. You put the words out of my mouth. You can have a great season, though, as a casual. You're right. So maybe we'll put Chris's season down to that. But when he has 10 years of history behind him, then we'll trust him as a manager.
He just shitting you, man.
No, but we have to. We've been gloating about his rank for about 10 minutes. So, we're all suckers. I did the same. I was a year after I lost my great rank. I thought I was still that good, but I wasn't. You're only as good as your last rank, but you have a very good rank before that, 30th, and then a very contrasting one, nearly 600K, right? So tell us about that. Like, how did that go for you? Did that lead to any changes in the way you play potentially?
Absolutely. It absolutely led to the changes in which in the way I played the game and how I played this season. Because what happened was, again, what Gabe was talking about earlier, right? Psychology and how much of an effect it has on you. Because when you're doing well, and when I'm playing the game, I don't like to listen to anybody else. You're stubborn about your own opinions. You're stubborn about what you're seeing when you're watching the games. They're stubborn about what you're perceiving in terms of how the games are going to go ahead. And at the back end of a 30th ranked season, which is a career best season, you're thinking that you're the king of FPL, you're the god of FPL, and whatever you're seeing is right. I did that, you know, and there's overconfidence, there's arrogance, and then that leads to not captaining Mo Salah game week one when he bangs a hat-trick against Leeds. And what happens after that is I tend to shortcut my way through FPL a lot because I make these big calls against the herd, so to say. And if they work, it leads to you just genuinely halving your rank. You go from 250k to 125k, 125k to 50k. Those are the kind of jumps that you really, really make. And I tried to shortcut my way out of that poor season very, very early. Just didn't work. And eventually, around December, I was a million and a half. And then I started playing simply because I knew that I can't shortcut my way out of this. And you have to play, the way you're supposed to play the game. You can't shortcut your way out of it. And that was a lesson that I learned. And then I obviously, because I'm competitive, right? This absolutely does hurt. There's no way, two ways about it. It doesn't sit right with me that I'm sitting with a 700K season.
Especially when some casuals message you and like, have you got those messages where they say, oh man, like I was following you because you're supposed to be good. Like you, why do you even have FPL in your handle? Some people are like, you can't have FPL in your handle if you're not top 100K. Like there is some mad people out there.
I don't have FPL in my handle.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You don't.
But I've had people telling me, abusing me because they were copying every move that I made. They've had a terrible season. And honestly, that's the best thing about the bad season I had last year. That's what you deserve to copy. That's how you should be.
You deserve that. You're right. You deserve to come crashing down.
I will say, when you look at these ranks like this, it's I tend to think of them as those high ranks are seasons where you've applied the lessons well and you've been on the right end of some luck, the good end of some luck. And then the poor seasons are those lessons that you need to learn in order to apply them again in the good season. So bad season, there's more lessons. Good seasons, you're applying the lessons kind of thing.
Exactly. And you're getting ground to earth. And that's when I came across Abdul again. You know, he's getting mentioned a lot on the blog. There's this blog that he posted on FISO where he talks about how you're supposed to play conservatively in the first 10-15 game weeks of the season. Just stick around with the pack. Because essentially what's happening in the first 6-7 games, and especially, you know, Gabe, you and me are sort of eye test managers where we like to see the games and make our calls. The first 6 or 7 weeks of the season are basically a random roll of the dice. You're not judging any form. You're not judging how the teams are. You're not judging patterns of play, all of that, right? So when you're trying to make those calls against the herd, you need to have seen 7, 8, 9, 10 game weeks of football. And then you take that gamble if there is an opportunity that presents itself. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I've done at the start of the season, where I've said, hold your horses until game week 10. You know, don't need to make any risky calls. Just stick with the pack. Stick to doing the right thing. Stick to making those correct decisions. And when that 600, 700K season happened, what I did was I looked back at the past 5, 6 years. I looked back at especially those years, which we've showed on the screen where I did well. And in all those seasons, there are many times that I hit game week ranks, which are 10 to 20k game week ranks. And these 10 to 20k game week ranks are when I bet against the herd when it comes to the captaincy. 90% of them were in the second half of the season. So I think there is a learning to take from here, where if I'm wanting to back my instinct and go against the herd, I do it after I've assimilated enough information and data from the first 10, 12 game weeks of the season and stick with the pack in the first half of the season. And that's how I've tried to differentiate in terms of playing this way. So, yeah.
That's that's a really clever way of playing it.
So that explains late riser.
I guess that's the next question then, isn't it? We were asking you pre-show and we said we save it for the audience. Tell us a little bit about the...
I've got no end of thoughts of what this could be.
I know what you're thinking. That's why I'm trying to get away from it.
He's going to be a spokesman for the ball shavers.
Yeah, absolutely. This is right up Manscaped's alley, isn't it?
So you might as well do a quick little promo practice here and I'll send it to them as our pitch.
But no, seriously.
The lawnmower 4000.
Seriously, Branil, is that the reason? You know, it's nothing to do with getting out of bed or anything else?
No, nothing to do with that. I know we talk about wooden a lot on the wire, but it has nothing to do with that. I'm also a United fan, right? And grown up watching Ferguson's teams, Sir Alex Ferguson's teams. And traditionally we're a good team. United were always a good team in the second half of the season. And that's how my FPL seasons have gone as well. And what happened was actually when I discovered Scout in 2011-12, and I was competing against my friend and there was cash on the line back then, I was 70-80 points behind him midway through the season. I discovered the Scout, which was, Hibo will watch for it. At that point, like a cheat code where you're playing the game based on your own instincts and there's no theories in terms of how you play the game. And you see out here that there's a community that's trying to crack this game, telling us how to play the game. There is something called a fixture ticker that exists. I discovered it and made up 80-90 points in the second half of the season. And I happened to get active in the community back then. So at that point, I was also watching Sherlock. So that's Grav, that team name that I had at that time, and my FPL name stuck, and I don't like changing it because
why? You know, you're gonna love this story, Pranil. So at NemaFest, there's a friend of mine. He lives in India. He studied in Durham. Just sold his business. He's moving to like LA. He came for this random one night. He doesn't even have an FPL team, and then he goes, "Oh, who's this guy?" So he types in Pranil, and he goes, "Oh, the Google auto search has Pranil Chef FPL," and it's like, of all the Pranils in the world, Google is recommending this Pranil to me as the most searched Pranil on this planet today. So how does it feel, my friend, to be the most searched Pranil in the world? Like, and from FPL. Like, and this is where it gets crazier. You're not ready for this, Pranil. So then I found out that when he saw you, he said apparently he's got a friend who's your friend and he's hung out with you before. So he begged me for a selfie to send to you. And I've still been recovering from Friday's event. And here we are on Tuesday. I've not sent it. But I'll send it on and I hope you recognize the guy. What a small world, eh?
Yeah, it is. It is a small world. It is a small world.
But yeah, tell us about, what does it feel like to be the top searchpreneur in the world?
I guess it feels good. It's not a very popular name here in India anyway. So it's all right, I guess. It's all right.
It's not like a John Smith. That would be a bit more impressive.
No, it's not like a John Smith.
Fair enough.
I was just going to ask, actually, Hibo, did we ever get to the bottom why you're called Hibo?
Right.
Is it Tony Hibbert?
It's Tony Hibbert, right? So whenever I started out in Scout, loads of people picked names that related to kind of football players. Now, whenever I played, I was a really kind of shit right back. And Tony Hibbert was Tony Hibbert was the shittest right back I could think of. So I started out as Tony Hibbert's love child, and then I changed it to Tony Hibbert, and then it became Hubbo, and it's just been kind of like an evolution. But no, I think it's interesting that Pranil mentioned Scout, because I think we're kind of seeing the game has really moved on to being quite data heavy. And I know Sir Talbot had a pod with Always Cheating there recently. And like when we started out, Pranil, looking at the data on Scout, it was all like kind of shots on target and penalty area touches. And at that stage, we didn't even have like expected data. There was no such thing as XG and XA. And, you know, the game really has moved on a lot very quickly in the last couple of years, I think, but very much so in the last 10, you know. So
on that note, if it's moved that quickly in the last couple of years, imagine the evolution of the game and the stats and the way we analyze it in the next 5 years. It's going to be something that we don't even recognize right now. So that's something I'm really excited about, introducing new data and different types of data and new metrics and models. I think that's really exciting about the whole analysis piece and content creation piece.
It's made the game a lot harder, because like if you're looking at these models now at the minute, and you're talking about FPL Review, which has been just on the money, Mikael Takvam has been on the money, and then you've got the introduction of kind of like Sir Talbot's field, which is like optimization. The standard in FPL at the minute is just through the roof. Like, and you're looking at the way
it's really
people
difficult
have started
to compete with people. Yeah.
It's really difficult. But look at Abdul. Like, look at where Abdullah is now. And like, you know, it's the standard is just insane.
Nick, remember what Nick said? So Nick, when we were all saying early on in the season when he came on the show, Trigger Lives, we were saying, oh, it's gonna be, you know, you're fine, you'll catch up. I've always caught up. Last year I was this ranking game week 10. Then he said, yeah, but that was last year. And this year, all the engaged managers are at the top ranks already. So the people you've got to overtake are not the casuals you were overtaking before. Yeah. So now it's really difficult. So like I've been at one rank. Like I went to the event in Friday and someone was like, what's your rank? I told them, they're like, wasn't that the same rank you were at the last meeting? And I'm like, yeah, like I've just been like one rank like the whole time. I just can't move. Like I'm not doing bad enough to drop fully, but I can't rise. And that's why I'm going to listen to your advice today, because you told me to monitor what I would have done if I wasn't thinking about EO. measure it and be honest with myself at the end of the season, right? And see whether I should back my intuition more often than picks based on like protecting myself with the shield strategy, as you say. You don't really like the sword and shield.
Where are you? You're in 20k.
Yeah, basically, I've always been that rank. I think I'm like 30k maybe right now with king to go or something.
But I think part of the problem with Twitter is we look at Twitter and we see Abdul and we see Marner and we see all these kind of high flying ranks, and I kind of think, all right, the ranks are kind of packed with these good managers, but I think you need a bit of perspective and you need to look at your team now going in, they say double game week or game week 23 and think, well, I'm actually doing quite well.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about how swingy this run-on's going to be with double game weeks. I think you're in a great position.
Mm-hmm. So this is the time to go in.
Also, it's just I mentioned that so much, but if we're exposed to such a huge Twitter community right now, that at any, it's so difficult to expectation manage also. It was on the money here, because any point, whether you're in the top 200, you're going to find at least 20 managers who are ahead of you on Twitter. So at every point, there's going to be... every point, there's going to be other managers who'll just pop out. So you need to like put that aside and just focus on what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's true, actually. Yeah. Whenever I see an account, like a Twiddy, a friend of the show, shout out to him, I was shocked. I suddenly saw he's like ranked 14 or something in the world out of nowhere. Yeah. And I met him at the original fest, the one that Johnny and Ed organized. And yeah, so it's all a bit crazy. I don't know, man. The ranks this season, I think there's a lot in the community, as you say, maybe 20 people at a time that are your friends who are all ahead of you. So my goal is always to beat those people, as you say. It's all friendly rivalry, but I really do want to beat them. That's the truth.
Yep. And it's great that Gabe mentions, you know, in terms of where the game's going to go in the next 5 or 10 years, because Nima, both you and me are, long-time listeners of FML FPL, and Alon keeps talking about how the stats are so ahead in basketball and baseball, you know, where they're so advanced, and football is actually really, really behind the ball when it comes to these statistics. And I see that growing where people like Sirtap and all of them working on this. And you can't be stubborn about it and say that I'm going to ignore this. You know, you need to get attuned to that. You need to develop that skill set. You need to learn about how that is working and add that as a factor in which you make your decisions. Like, I was very happy to sign up to FPL Review this season. I make sure I follow it week on week, just as another filter that I have before I'm making my transfers. And it's good to have that. I think you need to improve as a manager yourself as well. So you need to pay attention to everything.
I think, Hibbo, you've also signed up, right, to review this year.
Yeah, I think review's good, but I just want to make a bit of a point in the fact that within Twitter, like, there seems to be, I know it can be a bit of a joke, but people are picking sides and they're talking about, say, Grass FC versus Analytics FC, and whether you're an eye test man or whether you're like a stats kind of person. And I know Gabe watches a lot of football. I know that like a kind of FPL general watches a lot of football. There's loads of people out there calling themselves eye test managers, and all they watch is Match of the Day highlights. You know, so I think there's so much football out there. It's like, say even Watford, and you're talking about King and Dennis, Grass AFC. How many Watford matches have people watched this season? Full 90 minutes. If you were watching Watford, you would need to nail your eyes shut because it's terrible.
I don't know what we did. Yeah, we were gutted. I can't believe we picked a Watford Norwich.
There's nobody except for Watford fans watching Watford matches. You know, I don't give a
fuck. I regret it.
Yeah,
it's such a false dichotomy. Grass versus then it's such a, that division doesn't exist. We play a game that incorporates both, and you can't like block one of them out of your mind. So it's like a false argument. It's like, let's make something up to argue about.
This is where it's interesting, Gabe, because obviously, like, for example, we've got loads of time zones on here. You know, you're getting up 4 o'clock in the morning to watch games.
Yeah,
but I'm staying up till 2 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning to watch games. Well, actually, I'm not. And that's the whole point. So one of the reasons why I'm such a stat-based manager is I don't watch anywhere near as much football as most managers.
And that's great.
I love that you are like the machine. Like, you are the numbers man. Like, it is your engine room, right?
Yeah.
But I think
very much based on numbers.
ITS can add a bit of context, whereas like, okay, you've got the data, whereas data will not kind of pick up and kind of very swift changes over time. So if you're watching, say, a Man City match and you notice that Gundogan's effect or like playing as a false nine as we saw last season, or Foden's basically playing as a striker, all of a sudden historical data is never going to pick up on that. So I think eye test adds up out of context, which you need both. And I, people trying to pick one side or the other side to me just doesn't make sense.
But it is good for reactionary tweets and creating beef and engagement in the community, right? And we've got two weeks of.
That's your wheelhouse, Neymar. That's your wheelhouse.
Yeah, guys. I've become a banter account.
That's all it is. It's reactionary Twitter and nothing else. Every manager worth his salt are focusing on both, like Hibbo mentioned, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, you need both if you're really good.
Like at the moment, for example, we've obviously got a bit of a break. So, I mean, I record virtually every game. So, you know, again, what I will do is I'll sit there with a fast forward rewind button and, you know, and I even use, for example, SofaScore. If it's all flat and nothing's happening, I'll just zoom through it sometimes. I use all sorts of things just to try and get to the bit that I'm interested in. And then, you know, snatch a bit of football, consider it against the numbers. So, you know, again, you've got the numbers, but you don't make a narrative. You've got to then go off and then check it. Because like Hibbo says, you're absolutely right. You can't just rely 100% on numbers. You've got to then cross-reference it somehow or try and work out why it's happening. Why is that number the way it is?
I'll give you an example. We're going to talk about the Man United double game week. Bruno Fernandes. You boys, I think everybody picked Bruno Fernandes. You didn't pick Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah,
I got it.
Look at Fernandes' data this season. It's been terrible. It's been there's been nothing to speak of. And if you were going to look from a statistical point of view at Bruno going on this week, you would have said, no, I'm not going to pick Bruno. And that's a kind of stubborn stance that I took. But really, when we got the news on the Friday that Ronaldo wasn't 100% right, maybe the kind of people that are using a bit of context are thinking, well, if Ronaldo doesn't play, Bruno's going to get the pens, and Bruno plays better without Ronaldo. I don't care what anybody says. He's, you know, he gets the more attacking positions, and that's how it came to pass. You know, so I don't think data can always, it can't be the Bible as such. You know, you have to apply a bit of common sense, a bit of logic.
I think
you guys did.
What's happening these days is everybody is basically aware of who's on top of XG, who's at the bottom of the table for XG. See, everybody knows what's happening there. And it's about these, and I think 75% of the decisions that FPL managers are making these days are same. You're differentiating yourself through about 20-25% of the decisions you're making throughout the entire course of the season, because 75% of the season's based on data are obvious decisions that you can't really go against. If Reece James is a good pick, you get him. If Mo Salah is a permanent captain, you get him. And that's how the season has panned out to be. It's those 20-25%. And I reckon about 10-30% of those differentiating decisions are based on what Hibbo's talking about, which is, in my opinion, subjective knowledge of football. Wherein, you know, us as managers, we're aware, like Hibbo mentioned, that if Ronaldo is not playing, Bruno plays better. And, you know, people who are tuned into watching the game know that there's something like this exists, and that's why they'll take the call. Or if they've seen United play in the previous game, I was talking to you, Neema, where afterwards, Bruno was the first time I thought he looked sharp in a month and a half, which is why I was tempted to go there, right? So I think those...
Yeah, you were saying it before the Ronaldo news, so yeah, that's the other problem. And don't you hate it when news comes out and brings more people to your, like, nice differential 25% of the season route? And if obviously, it was still only 40% EO, so you must have flown.
But you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
I think these crucial opportunities in the season where there are big games, I think some subjective knowledge can help. And even if it doesn't, even if people who are sticking to the process when it comes to, you know, just following the numbers on review, and if you're doing the right things throughout the season, it's very much possible to get a good rank as well. So I think 75% of the decisions, all of us are making same decisions. And then there's that 25%, whether you go this way or that way, you need a bit of luck to really, really hit the topical of FPL.
Yeah, mine was a numbers play. That Bruno was more of a numbers play on minutes, as much as anything, just on minutes.
Yeah,
I was thinking, you know, Ronaldo's possibly at least going to miss one game, could at least miss one game. And on that basis, then he's nothing like as good an option. And therefore, because he's out, that then means that Bruno is a better option. So that was my thinking. And then I put my tin hat on and hid under me and pulled the cupboards off of my head and hoped to God it worked, and it did.
It was brave. But what I'll say in relation to Kenna Pranell's point is that even if you're kind of playing ABC FPL, like straight out of the kind of textbook, I think at the minute you get like nearly a 1 or 2 week window opportunity on a player before it closes shut and they become maybe 70%, 80%, 90% EO or whatever. Like you're looking earlier in the season, we say Benrahma, Mikel Antonio, Reece James, Chilwell, Foden, Jota. You have to have them in the first kind of week or 2 weeks. And then everybody jumps on. They've missed the points because they weren't on when you got the points. And then suddenly, like the net tightens and you know, you can't nearly make any more ground off that player. So you kind of have to hit them hot the first week. If you know
that
what
was
I mean.
This week. That was this week for me. So Jota, Bowen, Trent and Cancelo were all basically 100%. So yeah, I owned them, but like they are not going to help my season. They're just going to protect me, but like, it's not going to do fuck all unless I captain them. So that's a dreadful situation to be in where I can only root on like three of my players and one of them got a red card. Like,
but to Hibbo's point, I think you root for your players because you get them in early. You want, because you know, you're like, early. You get them in early and then they hit 100% so and you forget about them good, and you find the next one.
But then that's the question later about whether it's Jota or Robertson, the right third Liverpool player.
This is the question. Who is the next one?
Emerging assets is a great topic, I think. Yeah.
I also want to make a point here, you know, Hippo, where we're talking about people playing ABC football and then you need to jump on these players very early. So somebody like me will jump onto those players very early, but 50% of the times it'll be right and 50% of the times it'll be wrong. In an average season, over the course of 5, 6, 7 seasons, this will average it out. And the guys who are playing ABC FPL and not jumping on these players early because they believe that they don't have any perception or form and something like that doesn't exist, they're very happy to jump onto them 2 weeks later. And what happens when the whole ecosystem sort of averages out between manager type A and manager type B is that the guy who's played ABC has not jumped onto these players early, but he's also not made the same mistakes that I've made. So it's sort of kind of averages out.
It does even out a bit. You're right. Yeah, because I play very safely for 5 years and I'm always one rank. But the year I took risks, like you're saying, that's when I had my best rank. And now I'm hoping by next season I'll be brave enough to not worry about like a bad rank in my history and just go for it. Like just try to get ranks like Chris has and that you've achieved and Abdul has achieved. I think that's the next stage, Hibbo. Wouldn't you agree? Like top 1K, that's where it's at now. Like that's the exciting place to crack into. Like,
definitely. But I would just like to make another point just to continue on from Pranals is that we look at live FPL and it's a great tool that Ragaballi has made. And like we go on there and it'll tell us that your template rating's 80% or 84%. And I think there's a bit of a flawed mindset in the community where people look at their template rating and think, oh, well, I'm so template I can't make any rank. But Bone was like a huge EO, you know, what was he, 150%? People still made rank. Bruno Fernandes was like one player out of your 11 and you could chunk raise the rank. So there are opportunities. And like we saw it earlier in the season, where Marner got off to a great start with, like, say, Benrahma, Mikel Antonio.
And Greenwood.
One, two players can make such a big difference. And, you know, people can say, oh, I have to take a lot of risks and I'm going to change my team so that it's very differential. Whereas really what you're going to subject yourself to is what Abdul says, which is, you're not going to be able to manage your risk. I know you don't really like that term at times, Pranal, but
I saw you guys about
if your team is very kind of if it's very differential, you're going to leave yourself open to big fluctuations and rank. Whereas if it's slightly tighter and you hit maybe the 2 or 3 players, you're going to be able to move on.
It's always 2 or 3 players. That's the difference. I mean, you're talking about Marina's good start of the season. And I was monitoring him very closely because he's had a start. So you're always interested in looking at managers that are doing well and you're trying to see what they're doing well. I think him and me at that point had 1 or 2 players different. And that was the difference between a really good start and an okay start. And it's sometimes just that matters, at least 20, 30 points gained or lost.
I think one thing I would add is, and something I've used to quite effectively this year, is combinations of players in the same team. And that, you know, they're both fairly highly owned, but you own both of them. And, you know, then you get those double returns, the Benrahmas and Antonios. Now the Bowen and Antonio, or the Greenwood and Bruno at the start of the season. There's 3 there straight away. Now, of course, Liverpool, one stage was okay, but now it's a joke, as Nima says. But
Chilwell and James is another example. Chilwell and James.
Yeah, I had that because I got screwed by various injuries. And that was my worst move of the year for sure, although I paid off 1 week and I gloated about it and then went to shit for the next 6.
At least you didn't have Traore.
Yeah.
That's
a combination, and I think that's a great... And I think people sometimes ask me, you know, what do I do this? And I say, well, you know, don't try and take a huge bite out of it. Just take a little chunk, just take little bits and just, you know, like you say, Pranil, you know, just nibble away with three or four differentials and, you know, just maybe a combination's enough. And perhaps even as Gabe, did you own KDB this week?
No.
No, I
couldn't get to him easily. Did.
My son owned KDB and he said to him, oh, do I captain him? I said, well, if you're owning him, I said, I don't know that you need to. You could just owning him is enough in a sense. But although he's high, he's expensive. But that's the point, isn't it? If you've got these differentials, and you know, Smith Rowe is a great example. Martinelli's been a good example of someone like that this season who's returned well. Say I tend to leave Smith Rowe on the bench, but there's a great example of players who are consistent, who are returning, and you're not necessarily taking too much risk because the core of your team is still pretty template, like I was saying. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about this, Pranil? So someone in the chat, FPL Overthinker, they were saying that like you shouldn't make your transfer decisions based on EO, which I think is a fair point. It shouldn't be the only reason you make your decision. But for me, I definitely do look at EO. And like I look at my players and I look at which ones are dropping in EO each week because that means they're probably not getting points. And so the casual manager is just selling them, right? So I'm looking at like they're dropping in ownership and there's players who are hurting me and they're gaining in ownership as they hurt me more and more each week because they're getting points. So I do try to make decisions of when is the right time to hop on and hop off. So I feel like, as you say, like every asset, some of us think of one asset as a troll. Some of us think of them as a legend. But it really depends when you got onto the bus, right? So I feel like I do use EO as one metric. And I'll look at, do I think people are selling, but actually I know something from what I've seen that would make me think this is a good reason to hold because this week like there's a big haul coming. And I'll try and use that subjective knowledge on top of the stats. So as you say, something that's outside of what the data would charge, but like, I'm just going to go with this because it feels like I've got a good feeling about it. And it works out sometimes. It's a huge rise in rank. Other times it doesn't. But if you can get an asset before their 2 or 3 weeks of hauling, as Hibbo was saying, then you probably gained a lot of rank. But after that, it's just preserving. And then again, it's about when do you jump off? Do you jump off when they're 90%, 80%, 60%, 40% EO? Like, at what point do you decide you think that there's a better opportunity for points elsewhere? And it's not about the ownership, but it is about managing that risk. And I know you don't like saying that phrase, but we'll say it one last time for Abdul.
No, but I do manage risk. It's what I did in the first 15 weeks of the season. Yeah, you have to adapt, right? If you want to be consistent. But as far as possible, I'd like to think that EO doesn't influence my decisions and I want to make decisions only on the merit of the games that I'm watching and the stats that I'm reading and not what I'm seeing on live FPL. But I'm fully aware of the effective ownership stats of all these players. And if somebody is hurting my rank 2 weeks, 3 weeks in a row, it's going to be on the top of my mind. So as much as I'd like to admit that it doesn't affect my decision making, I think it does affect it more subconsciously rather than consciously.
You won't lose because of it, but you'll watch a game and you won't enjoy it when you see that bastard player with the high ownership score.
Or you won't watch it at all.
Or just don't watch it.
And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here because I was talking to Zoff about Dennis and we were chatting after the Watford game on a Saturday morning. And I asked him, any regrets? You know, we were talking about how shit Watford were and we went there. And he's like, no, 10 out of 10 times, I'm going to protect 120% EO against Dennis. So no regrets. It's how I played the game. And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. It's about what floats your boat.
It is true. What about this then? So just a final point on the EO topic. Overthinker says, if you look at Mbeumo and Tony, a lot of top managers had them. And obviously we expected them to haul and they didn't. And the double up ended up being like a big flop and stuff. So I think overall I held one of them and I was happy enough with the points at that price point over the long spell. I had them since like game week one, but I can see why a double owner would be upset. But I think that's kind of using hindsight too much. And like looking at something like that, and saying they did, like people have had King and Dennis, and they're from two shit teams. And this week it didn't work, but like the week they had them, my friends had them for 5-6 weeks, they've been hauling. So, like for them, it worked. So, I think it's definitely about when you get on. And I think Mbeumo and Tony were great at some point, maybe. But
when people owned them, did own them, they were playing Norwich, Newcastle, Burnley. Mm-hmm.
The fixtures were good.
So the people were just holding on.
But there were also other opportunities there as well. There were other options.
Exactly.
Gallagher came on the scene. Yeah. Smith Rowe came on the scene.
Yeah.
Damari Gray was even those options, something. Yeah. And so you have to be agile as well. That prick.
And it depends on teams. It depends on team state. So probably at that point, people had other fires to sort out. And people are going to look at that screen on the FPL page and they're going to see Ivan Toney, Norwich at home. And they're going to like, okay, I'll let him be. I'll figure out something else in my team, which is a probable weakness, which is why they've held on for a slightly longer period than they should have. That's
exactly, I think we all overtrust the lower ranked team. So that's the last thing from John. So I always feel like I've captained like Negredo in a Middlesbrough double game week. I've captained Duffy in like a Brighton double game week. They always flop on me. And every time, the one consistent thing I can see over the years is whenever I've captained a double game week player from a shit team, it's gone badly for me. So like, I think they are more inconsistent in the bottom ranks.
I can't say it's always been the case for me. I remember, what do you call him now? Charlie Austin. Remember years ago, QPR had a double game week where it was maybe Benteke was the other team. I think it might have been Aston Villa. And everybody wrote the double game week off. They says, no, this is two crap teams. We're not going in on it. And I remember captain Charlie Austin and it came up good. So I don't know. Like, I think,
but that's what I mean by his hindsight, because it can work. Like Mbeumo and Toney could have worked, but it didn't. So now we can say it was a bad decision. But if it worked, those managers would have flown.
While we're talking about teams from lower assets, that's also a point I just want to speak about when you're betting against the popular captain. And I look back at the times it has worked. It's been Aguero 50% of the times. It's been Martial, who played for United. It's been Bruno this week. I realized that 90-95% of the times this has worked when it comes to betting against the captain is betting on assets from the top 6/top 4 teams who are elite players who are capable of scoring those 3 or 4 goals. So I think if you're betting against the popular player, I think you need to trust an elite player who's been there and done that previously.
I think I would also add that it's okay to choose good players from maybe not great teams, especially if they have a double, especially if the double has good fixtures in it. And I'm thinking there's one that's coming up that I've held on to my team for a long time. I haven't been able to sell him because I have other fires, and that's Maxwell Cornet. Maxwell Cornet is coming back. They have 5 games in hand. He's going to be the talisman of that team, playing up front, kind of by himself. You look at his goals.
And you're going to get those early points weeks before they come.
There's somebody you could get in early. And he's cheap.
Yeah.
And he's cheap, right? He's like 6.1, something like that. So
is the Cornet prop. You're getting us in with you. You're selling this NFT of Cornet.
Well, here Mariner is about to pronounce his name.
There's more chance of getting an ice Cornetto. Cream room hauling.
Cornetto.
Seriously, I've looked at the numbers. It doesn't matter how many games they play, they're crap.
That's what happened with Watford, but I might still get Cornetto.
The crap, they're cheap, but Cornet is good. Cornet is a good player.
He's not a Burnley player, is he?
He doesn't have a Hope's not a bad shout. You know, they have that many games from there.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. That's maybe a better shout.
I would not go Burnley defense myself, but
for those that want to, good luck.
Hibbo, I might go Palace defense over Burnley defense. I don't know what you think.
That's controversial.
Oh, shots fired.
Pranil, you might not really understand this. At the start of the season, I basically said that Patrick Vieira was going to get sacked before Christmas. And I completely slid at Crystal Palace, but you know what I'm going to say? Nobody owns the Crystal Palace defender. So, like, at one stage, everybody was saying, oh, their XG conceded is amazing. But nobody owns them.
No.
Apart from Gallagher.
Tom had the goalkeeper, Gaeta, for a while.
Oh, I still own him. I still own
him. He's not even their goalkeeper.
He's not even the goalkeeper anymore.
Yeah.
Wow. That is incredible. Unlucky.
Guess the joke's on me.
We're going to make Hibbo buy a couple of defenders from Crystal Palace in the second of the season. Yeah.
So what do you guys think about the Twitter questions? Should I put a few up or should we put a few up?
Yeah, let's go for a few.
Because there was quite a lot of questions. We'll just do quick fire answers, though. And then we'll take live questions from the live chat. I feel like we're an hour in. We're not going to talk about Game Week 24. We've already said that because it's just too far away. 2 weeks till deadline. There's an international break, FA Cup. Who knows what's going to happen? So we'll just go through some live questions. But some of these, Pranil, they're more about you as a manager. And then other ones are about next week. But again, like, feel free to just do quick fire, whatever you think we'll do. Are you going to put them up or should I put them up, Mariner?
You're doing, mate. I've not got them.
Mariner's holding a day off.
They're on your Twitter anyway, aren't they?
To be fair, it's on my tweet. Yeah, that is very true. Yeah. But that means I have to log into StreamYard from another device. So I'll do that while we go.
Oh, my God. Right. Anyway.
I'm in. No, but yeah, I'll find the questions.
Nima hasn't been doing the heavy breathing thing. Normally,
I move the microphone away.
Here's the first question. Nima, you'll have to shout it out when you find out the name of the person. But there was a question about Trent and Robbo double up. Is that too much? What's people's perspective on that? Trent,
I'll start with you, Pranil.
It's not too much. Why will it be too much? Liverpool look like they have something to fight for. On paper, they're 6 points behind City, so they're going to play their first team every single game, despite Champions League commitments, because they can't afford to slip up if they believe they're in the title race. Not too much. And it's potentially a good time to sell Diogo Jota as well, because Firmino is fit and firing and there will be some rotation there. I'm in no hurry. I don't think Jota is a hard sell at the moment, but if you've sold him, I don't think Robbo, Trent, Salah is a bad play at all. He looks so far up. It looked like for the second half of last season and the first half of this season, he was just incredibly tired. He was overplayed, etc. It looks like he has some energy vigor back in him. I think this 2-week break will do him good as well. I think it's a good pick.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you on Jota. I've been thinking about whether it's time to move off him. And Robertson, I mean, what surprised me is that Liverpool now are really starting to look the real deal defensively, certainly at home. I wouldn't say away. I'm not so comfortable with them away. But, you know, Robertson and Trent, really, realistically at home, have got very, very good chances of double returns every home match. But away, it's mainly just attacking returns, I would argue. So
answer me this. How do you get to this? Because, like, obviously the priority this week is going to be, for you guys, is going to be signing Salah. So would you consider moving Salah and for Jota? And then moving Robbo onto the defence some way? Like, how would logistically go about that?
I've contemplated Jota to Salah. The only thing is there's the double game week coming up, isn't there? And that 26, there's always this possibly. Maybe. And it could be a very juicy one. So is that a danger? I don't know. There's a chance it could be dangerous. I don't know what you think, guys.
You're backing against the house if you get rid of Jota, but if you think his house is a wee bit shaky, then maybe it's
or if you think the house is going to shift towards Robertson, away from Jota because of the potential rotation risk, as Pranil says. But I will say also, to back up Pranil here, is the Robertson that's playing right now is a different Robertson from the beginning of the season. I had a lot of criticism for Robertson at the beginning of the season. I actually thought Tsimikas was better when Robertson got hurt and he came in. I thought Tsimikas was provided much more of an attacking threat. Defensively, he left some gaps defensively, but he recovers quite quickly. So, but Robertson came back and he owned his spot. And this is the Robertson that we've seen in the past, in my opinion. I think it's a great switch to go to the two defenders and Salah.
Yeah, I think not many people will be able to go there quite easily unless you wildcard, because we're going to be focused on the double game weeks, right? That's where our transfers are going to be focused once the schedule comes. So I think unless you're wildcarding, it might not happen. But having Robertson in place also might be a good thing, because I think game week 28 onwards, if Chelsea get their act together, they're going to have Reece James back fit and most of their first team in place as well. And they've got a great run of fixtures 28 onwards. So that might just be a nice opportunity to dovetail into a Chelsea defender if you want to.
I think so. Just before we get going then, so I was going to say, we're going to go to the Twitter questions, then some live questions, but I realize we're on like 47 likes, 76 people watching. So we've been saying for a while, Pranil, when we get to 1,500 subs, I will do the Ali G outfit. I'm infamous for the Pikachu at Fest, but it's time for a new era of yellow. The color of happiness. That's why both outfits have that one common pattern. I want to make you all very happy. So if you guys are willing to hit that like, get us up to the 50 likes was the number I said before, and 100 live viewers, we will get the Ali G outfit on before the show is over. So if you see me disappear off the screen, it's because I'm getting dressed and I'll let the guys carry on. But in the meantime, please do hit like, get us to the 50 likes, share it on Twitter, retweet my pinned tweet if you need, or find a link to the channel. When we get to the 100 views and the 50 likes, I promise Ali G is coming out. And I'll give you a little glimpse, actually. Let me see if I can find it. I've lost it now. I was going to give you a little sneak peek of what I'm going to wear, but I can't find the glasses now. But
at least you're not shaving your balls live on air. Anyway, that's
not,
fine.
Not yet. That would be live in person, not live on air.
That's your lane, Mariner. You're doing that.
No way.
That's your job, yeah. So I will be back. Oh, here's the glasses. Sorry. So we'll get you some of the Ali G going. But if we can just get a little bit of help, get us the likes, get us the views, help us get there, guys. Ali G's finally coming. It made sense while he was here the one time. And Pranil's here. This is the time to do it. So we'll start going through the questions, guys. But I'll wear the glasses to get us warmed up. Hopefully this inspires people to see Ali G. So
hit the questions hard. Just hit them hard.
Yeah. Oh, these are going to be quick fire. So we've got nuclear atoms. Is a balanced team important, or can a template team also bring us high in the rankings, Pranil? What do you think?
I think 1, 2, or 3 differentials is enough. Because the Twitter template isn't wrong. It's smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. The Twitter, even Nick said he moans about everyone having the same team, and then I'll go click on his team and it's pretty similar, as you say, by the 2-3 players.
Pranil, quick question, is that idea that the Twitter template is smart, was that a lesson learned last season? Do you think that is that a recent lesson, or I mean, because it's getting smarter every year, right?
It's a recent lesson. I've written that in my notes before preseason, at least 10 times. Mm. Don't bet against a Twitter template. It's well-researched. It's smart, and it's getting smarter.
Respect, like Ali G would say. Yeah. Respect.
Yeah. Respect. All right. Booyakasha. So on to the next question, guys. We've got FPL Osama here. So this will be so good. So he's saying there's 2 strategies, it feels like. Your wild card going into 24. With potentially multiple double small games coming up in 25 and 26, or is it still the template plan to kind of go in 31 to 35 before the big double game week 36 for a bench boost? How are you feeling? Would you answer this differently if you had 2 free hits versus 1?
No, I just look at what I do is I look at my team and I'd build a wildcard team and I'd look at the fixtures and see how much I'm potentially gaining building that wildcard team. And if it's juicy enough, I think I'll go for it.
It's got to be juicy enough. So Tom hit the wild card at NEMA Fest. Yeah. As soon as the deadline went, he went for it. But he went for Sterling over KDB. So he's pissed, I can tell.
Who got the assist?
Yeah. Who got the assist, Tom? Yeah, so he was there. There's a lot of royalty at this meetup. It was the biggest one yet. 40 FPL managers and Mariners already got 20 people confirmed and I've not even tweeted about it yet. So I feel like each month it's just going to become so big that soon we're going to need to like just go to a football stadium and hide a whole box or something. That's the next plan, I think, for the FPL meetups. Go watch it live.
I know this is always going to be team dependent, but I think it feels too early to well cured.
For me, it is. Yeah, for me. But
I tend to agree. I'm thinking that I might try and navigate this bit with transfers, to be honest with you, if Liverpool got a double game week, I've already owned 3. Now what would I like? Like Aston Villa,
United. Do you have any United?
United. I've already got Bruno and De Gea. So do I need to do it? I mean, what I have got, interestingly enough, like I say, is players who are not doubling, like City and City and obviously West Ham. But equally, they're not bad picks. Really,
I'm
not
just saying, Chris, don't decide right now. That's all I'm trying to say. Don't decide. No, absolutely. But go through the activity of building a wildcard team and then comparing the two. I think that's what you need to do as a practice. That's
and play the game week in front of you. Because
that's the biggest thing to say about this season, right? Yep. It's probably the biggest rule anybody can say is play what's in front of you. When
it's good to have a plan, but play what's in front of you. Don't play the plan.
I think
plan,
that changes now. I think now we can get into planning mode, especially because of the murmurs coming from the FPL towers where they're looking to revisit the rules that lead to cancellations. And it happened yesterday. Nima, I think you shared the tweet where they had, 13 or 14 cases only, which went down from 33, which is the lowest that they had since 5th December. So I think we're at the end of the tunnel when it comes
to cancellations. I'm hoping we're there.
I tend to agree.
But what about in terms of scheduling the doubles, though? Because that we don't know. We have yet to see that information.
Yeah, so we wait for that information. Yeah.
It's true.
I think you make a good point on the revision of the rules because loads of these COVID cancellations or loads of these fixture cancellations, they're not for COVID at all. And the whole reason that they were cancelled was because there's enough wriggle room in the wording of the legislation or policy or whatever that teams are basically ducking out of fixtures when they have maybe 1 COVID case. So I think if the league tighten up the rules, the planning managers, the managers that thrive off planning weeks in advance are going to come on they're going to shoot up the ranks, I think, between now and game week 38.
I think that the league needs to hire someone like Hibbo to write those rules, because then they would be clear, like his threads. That's what the league needs.
By the way, didn't someone ask for a transcription? Someone said that they saw Hibbo's coming and they asked for captions because they don't understand what he says, apparently.
that's normally me. I'll tell you what they are going to have to do, though. They're going to have to, hire a handyman up at Burnley so that they can go and get some WD-40 out for the turnstiles. I don't think they've played up there. I don't think they've got four extra home games to play, haven't they? Yeah. They played seven games at home. Ridiculous.
I'm watching Nima's screen here. He's doing like a reverse striptease out here.
Well,
absolutely putting more clothes on.
There's all thoughts happening. I think it'll be interesting, though, to see what happens once we start to get back a little bit more confidence that games are going to go ahead. And I think we're getting there. And I think that's a good thing. But I'd still maintain that, you know, you can spin yourself into a hole if, you know, trying to think if it goes this way, I'm going to do this. If it goes that way, it's going to do that. At the moment, we still don't know these double game weeks. So for me, I'd just plan, like Pranil says, think about it, have a few ideas. But I think we're break now.
if there's no double gimmick news, there's no way anybody's pulling the wildcard button. I think we need that information, and I think we'll get that information.
I think we have to get that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I wouldn't do it without. No way. Yeah. Not for me. Let's go through these questions quick fire, though, guys. I think then we can get to the live audience. So let's, we're talking about wildcarding. We've talked about that. We'll say basically in 2 weeks, ask us again. I'm sorry, Benny. He's holding game week 39. So it's after the season ends the following weekend. And there's a North versus South, and there's like a charity football match, and it's a big FPL meetup. So it's nice to see it happening. I saw Raptor held one in Nottingham. There's talks of a Scottish one, an Australian one, an Indian one via Mahir, obviously, Pranil. So it looks like the community is getting together worldwide, and we're all inspiring each other to just meet up with the people we've been chatting to over the pandemic for the last couple of years on the timeline. So that's lovely to see. But in terms of upside, Pranil, so Davinder Raj, he asks about what's the upside of going for a single game week over a double game week? What do you look for? So do you treat a single game week to a double game week differently in terms of upside chasing?
I mean, I don't even know how you upside chase here, but I think the only single game week players I would be skeptical of selling at the moment would be Man City or Liverpool players. Outside of that, everybody's disposable, in my opinion.
Everyone else bar the top two, I agree. So Jaskrin Singh, he asks, how do you strike that balance between the database and eye test approaches when picking players? I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, but in a quick fire answer, what would you do?
I think the data and the eye test, like these, the data as well as just watching and common sense ABC FPL that Hibbo spoke about earlier leads to 75% of your decisions anyway. It's 15 to 20% of the decisions where you see a quick change in formation or a quick change in form. I do think form exists, which leads to backing eye test over data.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. So what I've always said is if the qualitative data has any discrepancy with the quantitative data, you should probably like not trust the quantitative data till you assess a bit more. So that, I think that's what we're saying. Like the data is one thing, especially historically. But if your eye is telling you that this player is now going to play striker and they weren't playing striker before, that's something the data will never give you insight into. We've got a good question from Big Sam. I think this one's for you, Pranil. You really like this one. So if you were stuck on a desert island for the podcast listeners and you could only make one more impact transfer all season, what would be the name in this bottle where we see a little message on the sand?
I don't own Mo Salah at the moment, so easy. Just get Mo Salah.
Easy. Oh, wow. Okay, look, they're saying, do you not trust your boy? It's good old Marcus on the screen.
I've been tweeting about how frustrating it is to watch Rashi every single week. So, yeah, I don't trust him at all.
You know, we've been asked about the book recommendation from Mariner, but I think we'll skip that one this week. Oh. There was one last week.
FPL Dallas said Cuthbert the Dinosaur.
Oh, it's been recommended. I see.
Yeah.
So Banger's asking, Man City have no doubles while others have multiple doubles to come. Do you prioritize these single game week players more? So do you get like a Laporte who's got a single game week versus a Cucurella who could have a double game week?
I think if the team's good and not a poor team like Watford, I think you need to differentiate between that. So teams like Aston Villa, teams like the top four, Arsenal, United, Spurs, these good teams that we know are good. I think even Brighton, for that matter, I think you go for the doublers if the players are from these teams.
It's those tickets to the lottery Hibbo was talking about, isn't it?
And Brighton have what they have, one of the better defenses, statistically speaking, than in the league. So that's a top defense.
Yeah,
it is true. So what about this one from FPL Matthew, a fellow scout boy from the early days and top manager?
Fellow Nirvanaite.
Yeah, Nirvana. That's true. Yeah, I forgot about Nirvana, Hibbo, where they hate content creators, but it's all good. I hope one day they'll accept people like me who are a bit kind of doing a reverse striptease. I don't know if it's up their alley, but so are your upside chasing days over, he asks, or is this season just an anomaly? So I know earlier on you kind of answered how you've changed your season based on your rank last year, but would you say your upside chasing days are done? Like, are you a template manager now? Or
The key learning is you don't try to differentiate and go upside chasing if the pick doesn't make sense on paper, right? I mean, people think you do it out of a whim and out of instinct, but there is loads and loads of thinking that goes into that research and process, where if I'm planning to bet against a popular captain, I'm spending time on forums, I'm looking at highlights for the last six games back-to-back for that player, trying to identify the patterns of the players. I look at the data. I look at all of that. I look at manager quotes for the last two or three weeks. There's a lot of obsessive research that goes into it before betting. And if the opportunity presents itself, I'll do it. But I also think because of the template getting stronger and the average FPL manager getting smarter, it's difficult to make more regular bets against the template.
So would you say that regarding the template, it's a case of if you kind of can't beat them, you should join them?
I think you make picks based on merit, whether that's watching football or looking at the stats. And if an opportunity presents itself, go for it. But don't do it for the sake of being differential.
And this is the last one. This one's, I'm sorry in advance, but do you think going template at the start of this season, I know you listed Abdul's article and stuff about the first 15 weeks, so about maybe being more conservative then and then pushing on later, hence the name as well. But do you think going template is maybe a reaction from doing so badly last season?
Absolutely. It's what I said.
Okay, I'm just checking. I asked for your forgiveness in advance. Then I asked the question. We were having a good vibe. We were having wine. We were all friends. And now I've fucked up that shit.
If you don't learn your lessons, you're doomed to repeat the mistakes of the past, right?
Exactly. Absolutely no shame admitting that.
No,
I love that. You're an honest guy. No hiding from the truth.
I just like the bot on here. So's off. The Wire co-partner for Pranil, he's asked a question in the live chat. Which of these lads would you trust to manage your team for the rest of the season, Pranil? Because sometimes these comments disappear, so we don't want to leave it too long and then we maybe miss it.
But they stopped doing that now, Hibbo. They actually stay on the screen now,
Right.
They've managed to upgrade.
The one positive upgrade.
We spoke about psychology and FPL form existing amongst managers. So Marino's the one doing well. He's the one I'm going to give my team until the end of the season.
Totally.
Good answer.
What about this one from Osama? So he's a fellow United fan, or I think he's not actually. I think he's a Liverpool fan, maybe. I don't remember. But he's saying you as a United fan, would you pick Bruno or Ronaldo in FPL at this point in time if you had neither, I guess?
I sold Ronaldo over Bruno last week. No regrets.
No regrets. I like that. Yeah. But Bruno as well. Okay, so I think that's all the questions from Twitter. So we can now just go to the live questions, and we're 1 hour 18. I don't know how you're doing for hard stop. I'm here drinking wine. There's still at least a third of the bottle to go, so I'm good. We're at 80 viewers. I think what I might do, Pranil, is I might start getting dressed in the background and let you four chat away. I feel like I'm happy with 80. It's not the preseason days. Those other 20 managers, they've given up FPL. Like, their season's gone so wrong, they've quit now. So we'll see them next year in the preseason onwards. But for now, I feel like Ali G was promised at 1,500 subs, so it's going to come. I'll let you guys pull some questions out. So anyone in the audience who's listening, like, start getting your questions in and the team will be able to put them up on screen, like Zoff's message right here. So that was a very Zoff answer, not a late riser one. Boring. So I'll let you figure that one out, Pranil, while you come up with a better answer. And then I will be back in my LG outfit.
Right. So let's start. I don't know what he's disappeared for. He's not even got to 100 yet. Let's start with the question from Nihal and Pranil. What's your Salah plan? Because there's a number of people who, like, you've got Bruno now.
You know, you could possibly just do a little bit of a shift along to him, or so other people have KDB, or would you have both? You know, what's your view on what to do with Salah, when to bring him back, for example?
You get him this week, whatever it takes. I think he's the best player. He's the best pick in the game. And it's very easy to get distracted when a player like Salah comes back. I think you get him as soon as possible. Then you get your double game week players outside of that. Let Salah be there. Because we've seen with Leicester, they're a very, very poor defense as well. He could easily put a few past them. So you get him as soon as possible. And that's the thinking behind selling Ronaldo last week as well, where, you know, downgrading Ronaldo to Pedro generated a lot of funds, and all of them are going to go towards upgrading Saka to Salah.
Look at that matchup, +5. Yeah. I don't think I've seen anything quite as high as that all season. You're absolutely right. Leicester are cack.
But I think this feeds onto the point that I was making earlier, that you get a one game week or maybe a two game week window of opportunity. And there's a bit of narrative at the minute where I see people saying, oh, I'm going to cap and Bowen. Look at this idiot here.
Fucking... at who's in the house.
How can we possibly be taken seriously? We're trying to get sponsorship at the moment.
The moment we try to take ourselves seriously is the moment the ship of Net That Hall just sinks.
West Side is the best.
So get Salah immediately, right? That's a nice straightforward start.
But I don't think everybody's going to necessarily do it this week, is what I'm saying.
No, so that's interesting, isn't it?
I think people will drive a narrative depending on what they can physically do with their budget and their team, and they might decide. You know, they'll say, "Oh, I'm going to captain Bowen this week," and I think this is the opportunity. Get him, double down with captaincy, and hopefully that.
Yeah, people will say
at home.
Yeah.
I feel like I've confused Hibbo with the outfit change. He's like,
he's concerned. He's like, what?
Booyakasha.
He used to be like a legitimate FPL account. No, like,
by sort of default, with Anton Askai's question as well, would you prioritize Manu assets over Salah? No.
Can I just interject for one quick second on United, because I'm not really interested in getting a United asset even for the double. I'd rather prepare for other doubles and exploit other easy fixtures, because watching United, and I've said this about other teams in the past, it's like fucking football blue balls. It's like there's something there and it just won't come out, and it's just like stuck. So I don't want United, and I wonder if what you guys think, is that too risky?
Well, what if they had a double over Southampton and Brighton? Three home games? Because I think that's what was talked about.
That's not a great double, in my opinion.
Yeah, but there's a lot of talk about, you know, how Ralph wants control. And normally I speak about how United have talented players up front and we're able to get control in a game for 20, 25 minutes. Mm. I've seen that go up from 20 to maybe 30, 35 minutes in the last two or three games, you know. So I think there will be more opportunities for points to come for the United assets. So I don't think you should ignore them.
Okay. So notice the swing a little bit.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I sold Ronaldo for a -4 this week for Dennis captain, right? But I've already got him in my list, as you saw, Gabriel, as a target for game week 25 if it's a double. So regardless of buying him, then I bought him for a hit, sold him for a hit, but I'll still buy him back if it's a double because I need those lottery tickets.
Nima, it's just really weird, man. I see you talking FPL with this. Like, my mind is going all different places. I have no idea what you just told me right now, but I'm sure it's pretty good.
I'm sure to concentrate as well.
Bakayar needs this suit. I would love to see Bakayar on the wire dressed as LED. I swear to God.
I'm going to give him this outfit when he comes. Yeah. But he's like 6'8" or something. So when he comes to London, he might not fit in this. Like,
yeah. Come on, Zoff. You need a fancy dress episode. Come on.
Really quick question on United for Pernil. What are your thoughts on Greenwood? I see his role in expanding, right?
I do. Yeah. I like him as a pick.
That's who my eye would be on it. I think initially the budget option, the fact that his role is expanding, I don't know. I think he's getting something.
Yeah. And also, I think there's more trust that Rao's going to pick in him. I like the fact that we're trimming the squad. Marshall's already out. Mm-hmm. He's going to Spain, and Lingard's going to be going to Newcastle by the end of this month, I have no doubt, mm-hmm. in my head. So I think the fact that he's also trimming the squad makes me think that he has more trust in these players that he's already using.
Nice shout. Nice shout. Here's a question from Bruce. 210
It's Timbers, FPL Timbers on Twitter.
This is Timbers.
He told us earlier, just so we would know.
Right, okay, nice. So, hi, gents. What are your thoughts on Broya from game week 26 with Southampton having Everton, Norwich at home, Villa away, Watford, then Burnley and Leeds? Where are we on the cheap forwards these days after being horribly burnt this week?
Get him. I love Broya. I love watching him play. I love how, you know, he's smart in the fact that he reads other players' hips and he can get inside defenders' hips. And that's how he's getting these positionings. I think he's a great player and the budget forward to own, in my opinion.
Is he nailed? Is he totally nailed?
He's too good.
He has been nailed. He has been recently. He was rotated initially, but I don't think he'll be rotated anymore.
That was a question more than anything. You know, it's not a criticism. I don't really know myself because he's not somebody that I've really followed this season.
I think he's first choice, Ebo.
It looks like he's now fully nailed in, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if Roy ends up at Watford, then that's the end of them as an attacking force, isn't it?
Shout out to FML FPL who came up with the Roy. Which is so good.
But if he ends up at Watford, that's the end of them. So just flog them. He's an easy move.
People are talking about Roy Hodgson going on at Watford and being like a defensive manager. He doesn't have any defenders.
No, he doesn't.
What's he going to do? Like,
it's just going to kill the forwards. It's just going to kill the forwards.
Yeah. We got Akim maybe saying control.
Don't get choke slammed by your. What on earth is that?
Akeem's off the wall comments are legendary. They're so good.
It is random.
It's not so much a question, but I think it's a very interesting one. It's a bit of an eye test sort of thing. It's always good to have one player that you just like to watch every week. Olise has been that player for me, FPL Bad Boy says. Mm. Keeps the fun in your team consistent. I have to say, if there's one player who jumped off the screen at me this weekend, it was him. He looked amazing.
Mm-hmm. Rafinha's this for me.
Mm. Yeah, that's your Rafinha, yeah.
I love Rafinha. I love watching him play. Like it's
penalties.
Yeah. I love getting jammy penalties because he wasn't on penalties before. You know, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But I don't know if you saw the game, but he was absolutely on fire. Mm-hmm. You know, he looked so good. The fact that they can't finish is another problem, but, you know, this is half the problem with them. You know, and I mean, again, looking at their matchups going forward, it looks okay with Norwich and Brentford and things like that, but that's not so straightforward. Palace away are not great.
No.
So it's
maybe has a double game week to come, I think, Rafinha, maybe in the near future.
I was really impressed. I don't know if anybody else spotted him this weekend, but I thought he looked great.
He has been for me this few weeks. Go ahead, sorry, Pran.
For me, this player would be Nima's boy, Martinelli. He's just amazing to me. He's got that superstar quality about him. Mm. He's sensational. I think he's gonna absolutely break that price at some point. I think he's gonna turn that tide. He probably already has.
I think Klopp is grooming him with these comments. He said it 2 years ago. 3 years ago, in 2019, I think it was. Klopp was like, oh, he's like a talent of a century. And then now after this game, he's like, yeah, he's like incredible. And I'm like, this fucking guy, he's not a Haylen boy. If we don't start winning shit, and you got someone like Klopp just grooming you in the background on the media, like, you lose these players. Saka, maybe you keep because he's a Haaland boy, but Martinelli, I worry, you're right. I think he might be too good when the time comes for us.
Well, I'm on the wrong horse because I'm still on the ESR horse.
No, he's the same levels. Martinelli, so what people don't realize is Smith Rowe is a lot older than the rest of them. Like he's at least a year or two ahead of someone like Saka. So people think Smith Rowe is very young, which he is, but Saka's actually younger. Mm-hmm. And he embedded himself in the first team sooner. So for me, that's why I've held Saka most of the season. And imagine my disgruntledness at Smith Rowe, like outscoring Saka every week when I held Saka in FPL. But I'm like, Saka's the better player. He's vital to our play. So I think there is such a thing as bias as well, where you'll watch a certain player and you think they're really good, and that's where all the plays through the team go through. But it doesn't mean they're the ones getting the FPL points. So what do you guys think about points as a metric rather than like expected stats? So, you know, like grass versus analytics, back to this debate again.
I mean, it's results based, right? So there's a problem with the like, I love looking at it as a kind of barometer to gauge the other stats, but it's all based on hindsight. So you have to take it with a large helping of salt. It's the epitome of going product over process, but it's good to have both. You have your process with the expected stats and you know, your underlying, your models and stuff like that. And then you can balance it with the product. Well, what did these stats result in? So it's a nice counterpoint, but you don't want to be like a hindsight merchant, right?
There's a lot of them on Twitter.
Because you would be buying Jack Harrison the week after he scores a hat-trick.
Right.
Do you know, even though he's done nothing all year, do you know, you'd be like, oh, I'm buying him because he scored last week's points. It's not.
Yeah.
Nah, not for us.
Here's a question for us, boys, from Jimmy E. How worried should be with this double or triple City when the Champions League starts? Well, depends how many points in front they are, right?
Yeah, I think the fact that they drop points against Southampton helps the case for their assets.
Yeah.
Big no, time. We needed that.
The sooner they get over the line, the biggest. Yeah. And I have to say, this is one of my biggest failings last year, is not seeing that coming. I won't make that mistake again, because I got absolutely destroyed by City rotation, and I, you know, just happily taking points off them quite merrily, and all of a sudden, wallop, all gone, and then it was an absolute disaster. I went into free fall from about game week 31 last season.
I think the game changer is going to be that Liverpool City tie in game week 32. I think at that point you'll realize whether it's worth going for them or not.
Mm-hmm. That's fair a big enough. Game, you're right.
Yeah.
We've got Man City Spurs as well coming up on the day that you're coming over to the UK, Mariner, 19th of Feb. Man City Spurs.
Very nice.
That's the title challenge of one and the top four challenge of the other. On the
as long line. As I'm not laid in a corner, fast asleep, because it'll be like 4 o'clock in the morning to me by the time that's played.
I love
my body clock.
You said no photos. I love how you thought that was going to be possible. Like I didn't upload anything from the event, and there's photos and videos everywhere. So good luck to you when you did a live demonstration with the Manscaped app.
Who's disappeared? Pranil's disappeared.
He'll be back.
He's vanished. Right, here's a very quick one. Let's just answer these while Pranil turns back up again. FPL Dallas. Matty Cash before Dean even considered going to Villa. Worth cash to Dean for a -4, two sideways. Boys?
Far too sideways.
Never making
that chance. Yeah. Here's another one. Michael Flattery. Michael Flattery?
It's like
Feet
my
of Michael Flattery. Feet of Flames. Riverdance. No. Questions for all. Sell Ronaldo. And Salah, sell Ronaldo for Salah for a -4. Worth it?
I really don't enjoy owning Ronaldo, if that makes sense.
No. Worth it. I say worth it.
What about the double in 25 that he might have?
Get Greenwood.
Very straightforward. You're back, Pranil. I don't
know. Yeah.
As a United fan, we'll let you answer this one.
Yes.
Oh, it's worth it. Yeah, you should just get... Yeah.
You've been asked to take off your raincoat by Akib, Nima, by the way.
It's got a hood.
I'm not sure if he thinks it's a flasher Mac.
No, it's got a hood as well, look. It's got like... but I can't put it over the headset. The headset's too big.
You should wear this to the next Nima Fest, Nima.
Should I?
Yeah.
Here's a question from Rhino's Leeds. Seen a lot saying save the wild card to set up bench boost, but are you not missing a trick in game week 28? Man U fixtures turn and triple Chelsea looks tasty.
I don't like the way the bench boost compromises your second wild card, if I'm being totally honest. And I do think if there was an opportunity to maybe get rid of the bench boost with some of these double game weeks coming in the near future, you can maybe take a big hit in bench boost and then wild card. with a bench they kind of navigate, I think it would nearly be better. I don't like the fact that the two of them are twinned together and that you would have to maybe wait to go, oh, I'm going to wildcard in game week 35, I think. It just loses value every week.
You know what I call it, don't you? I call it the sword of Damocles. Bloody wildcard. I can't wait to get rid of it, the bench boost. I can't wait to get rid of it. I'm exactly like you. Can't wait. Especially once you're loading your bench up, and they're all money galore lobbed all over the place, and then all of a sudden it all goes to shit.
It's better to wild card out of that than it is to wild card under it.
The thing about the bench boost is that it kind of fucks our strategy, like as our general strategy as FPL, because we need to load our bench with shit usually, because a 4-0 goalkeeper and some 4-0 defenders, and so it derails the rest of the season, which is why I've always liked wildcarding out of the bench boost. But I can't say that my bench boost has ever really worked either, doing it that way. But
did you have treble leads last year?
Uh-huh. Yep.
I bench boosted the treble leads.
But at least I wildcarded out of that.
Yeah. Was that the following week after getting you got more points with one player than you did in the entire team?
Entire bench boost, then Gundogan outscored my entire
team. Here's a question. There's an interesting one. We've got, are we above average FPL? Are we looking at a stark shift to a 4-5-1 or a 5-4-1 with strikers becoming almost non-existent? This is interesting, actually. This is a real. This is one we could get our teeth into for a couple of minutes, guys. There are some pretty tasty assets in. If we're channeling our inner Shom, going biggest at the back, right? Because that's basically the Shom play. If you could spend, if you could have six defenders, he would. But what do you think? Is there that many? I mean, I'm scrambling around looking at forward assets, and we've mentioned Breuer, but DCL, what a disaster.
I think you definitely
DCL,
you don't
total
have...
disaster.
I
Antonio
think you definitely... Sorry.
going three games in international break, probably his leg's going to fall off soon. Who else have we got?
I mean, I'd say even like beyond players, and we've talked about this for a couple of weeks now, is investment and percentage. How much are you going to invest in the front line versus the middle versus the back, right? And I mean, right now, the way the game's setting up is you need heavy investment in midfield, I think, obviously, and you need very little investment in the front line, which is why players like Broya are so appealing. Even players like Tony and Dennis and King are still appealing because of their price, because you don't want to pay any more than that. Unless there's a double or something changes, for me it's I'd like six midfielders if I could. I'm hard to just select five, so it's the five in midfield for me. That structure,
spot on. I think there's too many good midfield assets. So you either go 4-5-1 or 3-5-2, but you need to have a lot of investment in midfield. There's just too many of them to not look at five midfielders.
Guys, what's the helicopter trend? Because I only know one helicopter, and it's not what escapades means. But my friend, he on a night out, like run into the middle of a roundabout, and pull the trousers down and do the helicopter. But so what kind of helicopter trend is escapades talking about? Because I don't know, no normal helicopter.
He actually wants you to do exactly that. I think live.
Is that what he's
you got it right?
Well, might hopefully he can clarify. For us.
What's a helicopter?
Don't ask.
I know it's a helicopter.
Yeah, exactly. Once your trousers are down.
here's Mohammed here. Mohammed Osama. One of the best shows recently, guys. Really enjoying it. Thank you very much, my friend. Would you capitalize on double city defenders or Cancelo and KDB? Nima, by the way, I'm a Liverpool fan. There we go.
I did think I was wrong about United. Did I say United? And then I switched straight to Liverpool. There's a big difference. Yeah, there's a big difference.
I mean, where are we with City defense? I've owned double City defense for ages, and I have to say they're flattered to deceive for me. To be honest, I've struggled. I've had to own Diaz for quite a long time, and I have had some returns, but equally I've had a lot of pain,
I bought Laporte last week. I was happy about that.
Nice.
I think if you didn't own a second one, that would be where you would go, right? because most people own Cancelo.
Yeah, for sure.
He's just like, you don't even get points from him anymore unless you captain him.
They had options. You need to have him, obviously, but he's like,
I'm happy with double city defense. I've had double city defense for most of the season, and I mean, even when one is rested, bench, like, it's been no problem because I know they over the long period they bring me the returns. So I'm quite comfortable with double city defense.
So you wouldn't sell one of your double city for say Luka Dean or someone like that who has a tasty double or someone like that.
I'd probably look to sell a different defender than my second city one.
Also, I think it's a false comparison, you know, this question, because you're comparing a second city defender to maybe a Robertson versus a Dean versus somebody in that bracket. And you're comparing KDB to Salah, who's potentially going to be in your team, or Foden at a price bracket cheaper, or Bruno. So I think that's the comparison that you kind of make. You don't compare where you want to fill your two city slots. And that's the comparison you need to think about in your head at the moment.
I think you're right. It's spot on. Yeah. Guys, by the way, so there's 100 watching. We breached triple digits, I think, for the first time ever.
So what are you going to do now then? What are you going to do now?
No. I just wanted to wear this. I just wanted to wear this so badly that I trusted in our audience to get to the number I
I'm
said.
I'm afraid there's got to be another forfeit.
Is your wife at work? Because is she going to come back in and see you dressed like this?
I hope so. I really hope so.
I need to change as quickly as I can.
I would laugh like hell. What the bloody hell are you doing wearing that?
You know, I noticed Hibbo's look when Mariner asked, what are you going to do next? And Hibbo's like,
because he knows what he's capable of. What he was capable of.
Bitter experience. Yeah, right.
But you know what? They're here for the filth, because as soon as he talked about me doing something worse, he went up to an all-time high of 106 live viewers. As soon as they hear there's a chance of some like debauchery, they're all here. Well, 107. See what I mean? Like, you talk about rude shit and then they're all here.
We need to bring all our tricks out then, don't we?
There he goes.
Well, someone sent me the helicopter trend. Oh, 112. Yeah, wow. They really like it. Well, it turns out the helicopter trend is not what we thought it was. It's probably a TikTok.
I don't want to know what it is. It sounds rude.
They're gonna come and find you, the authorities in Singapore. You won't be allowed.
That's the problem. It's all right for you. I'll get arrested and thrown out of the country here.
I have to laugh. I'm glad we changed the YouTube location from Singapore to UK. That's all I can say.
That was necessary. Yeah, we do have a couple. We have some more questions popping up here in the chat.
Yeah, we have. Here we go. Here's another one. Can we trust Leeds? They looked great. Then look what they did against Newcastle.
It's Rafinha or nobody.
Yeah, you can trust Rafinha every day, every game week. It's good. Trust Rafinha.
They have been absolutely destroyed by injuries, though, haven't they, this year? As I've been saying it all season, they've been struggling.
But the bottom of Bamford's foot.
Bamford's. But Leeds didn't go down the route of going for cancelled fixtures. You know, they've turned up and played despite the fact that their squad's been absolutely decimated, which I think is a bit naive, but kind of credit to them for doing it too.
No. The guys at Above Average touched upon this, and what happened is they got sort of tricked into doing something like that, because what happened was they got screwed with injuries at the start of the season. And the rule that the Premier League has is that your players need to have enough experience. And what happened was Bielsa played these players at the start of the season. And when everybody else started getting screwed because of the injuries, their back end of the squad had enough experience. They already played, so they had enough experience. So then they couldn't afford to cancel at that point.
That's very good. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Arsenal did the opposite. They were not naive. Yeah. They registered fewer players.
So, 150 live viewers and Nima dresses up as Boris Johnson.
Yes, Mike Halpin, legend.
Like a big you know what, Chris? If you finish in the top 50, you should do that.
I will. I'll dress up as something. Yes.
Margaret Thatcher.
No.
Margaret Thatcher.
Are we sailor?
I'll play one like a because everyone's calling me a dinosaur. I'll get one of them T-Rex outfits and do the entire show stood up in one of those T-Rex outfits. How about that?
Like Paolo Wanchope did when he jumped on that horse with the dinosaur.
The only trouble is how am I gonna press the keyboard because I can't get the hands up.
You were talking about this. I think he really wants to do it because you've been talking about this Raptor outfit for a while. I think you're going to have to rename yourself to FPL Raptor.
Yeah. FPL T-Rex, old.
T-Rex, okay, T-Rex. We got a new one. Well, there,
it can't be Mario because they're absolute shit. So I can't. Grimsby are just so bad. Right,
we got the 200 gun DM. I don't think that's going to come anytime soon.
No, right. Okay, what else we got? Here's some questions. Aiden, best midfield option, 5.3 max. Jota and our famous friend, that prick, Gray. To Salah, and he's thinking Ramsey. But I know what Gabe's going to say. He's going to say yes.
Yeah.
What do you think about Ramsey, Pranil? Do you like the look of him?
I really, really like Jacob Ramsey. I think it's a good option. But I think if you can spend 0.1 million more, get Martinelli.
Yes.
It's that's the thing. It's such a, like, if you can just get to that point, like, it's a little bit more, but you're going to start him as your fourth mid. I don't think I'd start Ramsey as my fourth mid.
Yeah. I think the max tells us that he can't get there.
Yeah.
I was watching him and I thought he was a little bit deep for me. I just thought it just seemed to be dropping off quite a long way. And that was, whereas Martinelli is completely the opposite. He's right front and center of everything that Arsenal do at the moment, isn't he? So, yeah. I agree with that. Well, that's a good call. Right, what else have we got?
Although I will say, really quickly, Martinelli has some blanks coming up while Ramsey has some doubles coming up. So I would say just go Ramsey and be happy with
it. Then go Ramsey now, based on fixtures, go Ramsey.
But would you be happy with, say, Ramsey using a Villa slot, you know, because you're talking about
that's a good point.
Digne, Coutinho, Watkins. If you're giving Ramsey, like, one of those three spots.
I would choose Ramsey over Coutinho.
I don't think it's a bad pick.
Right.
Yeah. The devil in me, you know, I've mentioned this before. I mentioned it on last week's show. The devil in me with Smith Rowe is, you know, if the fixtures that they do have are very, very good matchups, you could nearly bench Martinelli and then just launch. If we think we're not going to have all these postponements, you could nearly bench him and then launch him out on those good game weeks at that price. Mm-hmm. You know, I would
definitely get Martinelli. But the thing is, for me, I still pick Saka over Martinelli personally. I feel like Martinelli got his hauls, and I do wonder if, like, if I didn't have him now, which one would I go for?
I think Saka.
That's the thing. So I feel like he's like the most likely to create anything for us, but he's historically not been a good finisher. Whereas Martinelli is like the opposite. He is a finisher. Mm-hmm. So it depends what you're looking for.
It's just the price difference, right? Isn't it? That's all it is. And, you know, if we're looking at Villa now as being a genuine option, and players like Coutinho's there, you know, is he going to be a player that we're going to want and we get on board? It's entirely possible.
I keep mentioning someone that I actually really like. I have him. I got him in draft a couple of weeks ago, and he's been killing it. And it's Buendia. Buendia is a player transformed with Coutinho on the field. Buendia is a totally different player, and I think he's a great option in that midfield as well.
They've got many good picks in that team, Villa. I think at each price point, I think all three of them in midfield are legit picks.
Top.
I'm not against any of them.
I agree.
And I think what they offer is correct for the price point that they're priced at.
I really like them. I had to move away from Watkins as soon as he got that postponement. I think he got postponement immediately after the week. I had to literally shifted him straight out again. Mm. Got some points and shifted him away. But I do intend to get back to some Villa assets for sure. I think really definitely on my shopping list. Nima, what else have we got? Have we got any more questions? Have you seen any?
Yeah, there's a few around like Suchek and stuff, but like I'm not going to entertain that.
I want to talk about one thing though, because we touched about it earlier, and you know we spoke about what advice we should give Chris, so that he finishes in the top 100.
That's true. Yeah, how does he finish in the top 100? Yeah.
The only thing I have is don't listen to any advice that anybody else is giving you. Just do what you're doing.
You're in form. You're in good form, like you said.
Someone asked me the other day about it, and someone asked me on Twitter, are you playing it any differently? And my answer was, mentally, I'm adding two zeros onto my rank. mentally. So I'm just, because at the end of the day, you know, it's very strange, FPL, isn't it? Because, you know, the points still, the difference, whether you're at 100 or whether you're at 100,000, you know, it's still the same, the differentials in points still have the same effects. You know, it's just all relative, right? Mm. So you may as well just think, I'm at 50,000 or, you know, instead of 500, right? And just play it like that rather than getting all wrapped up by the fact you're at 500. And I think that's what I'm probably going to do. I'm going to try and just park it, not get excited about it, try and park it and just play it like I'm, you know, at 20, 30,000 or something like that.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that on the 19th of Feb when I've got uploading selfies with you saying Mariner is in the top 10 in the world.
I hope my rank's still the same. I mean, I've got I've got nearly a month of travel coming up.
Yeah, but it's also 3 weeks break. It's
going to be like when. It's going to be chaos. I'm going to really struggle. But what to do?
We'll get you into the top 100. We'll get it. We'll get it done.
Don't shit yourself, big man. Keep going.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to carry on. Don't worry about that. It's no problem there. I'm really happy where I am, and I'm ready for the challenge. But I'm not going to get ahead of myself. And as I say, just play it. Just carry on playing. Just carry on playing as normal.
Mariner, I'm thinking about adding 2 zeros to my rank, and I might quit.
Well,
that's I'm done.
Have you got your son at?
I got my what? My yes.
You need your hat.
I got my beach hat here somewhere. It'll be coming out soon enough.
There
you go.
You need your hat for the beach, right? We all have props on that hole.
And you know what? Hibbo finally has the TV in the kitchen.
Yes, yes. Hibbo's got a telly now.
It's great, guys. This is my football TV here.
This is the one, yeah. It's finally come to fruition. We've got one or last two questions. I'll give you these ones. So one of them, I think, is a legit question from Football Is Life. What would be your keeper combination on a wild card?
Nick Pope and 4.0 million keeper. Just play the numbers, I guess.
I like it.
Yep. I think for me, that's a weird one because with five fixtures in hand, how could you not go for Nick Pope, right? I think all the overhaul teams in Sky have him. I would definitely be looking at that. So someone just said, question, Sal Foden. He only hauls every 3 to 5 weeks. I just bought him last week as a long-term hold.
He's got Brentford next game?
Yeah, I'll be keeping him for the next two at least.
You're never selling him before that. Never.
Brentford, Norwich, Spurs, Everton, Man United, Palace.
He scores 2 points. He scores 2 points or 20 points. Keep him. Yep. I'll leave him. Yeah.
And then that he only hauls 3 to 5 weeks is a result of him being mates with Jack and not being able to play for a couple of weeks, and then he got the COVID. So it's looking at it in sort of a hindsighty way. I'm pro Foden all the time. I think he's City's best asset in attack, irrespective of price at the moment. And I don't think you should think about selling him. He's a great player and he's very direct, never a bad asset to own.
And I think at the minute when they play Grealish as like a false nine and they play Foden, I think it's great. And if I turn on a Man City match and I see that's a formation, I'd be pretty scared not of Foden, if I'm honest.
Mm. Yeah.
I prefer him on that wing than as a striker,
Well, the thing is, Jack's dribbling, the way he dribbles, he draws defenders to him, and he'll take one extra touch, and then another defender will come. He's like this magnet, right? And that opens up space for Foden, for Bilva, for everyone around him. So Jack in the center is really interesting. And De Bruyne has a similar effect, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw De Bruyne in the false nine as well, occasionally moving forward.
He's starting to hoover up the bonus, isn't he? Like De Bruyne, he's having a big impact in games, and then when he doesn't do very much, he's top bonus anyway. Like, you know,
that's the thing with De Bruyne. You know, historically also, he always does 6-point assists, not 3-point assists, because he's doing so many key passes and all of that during a game. So it takes him one or two returns to clock those three bonus points.
He's definitely someone I regret not buying when I bought Foden, but I told myself Foden was a long-term hold and I didn't want to tie up the money. But looking back on it, I had no reason to keep 5 million in the bank. I should have probably just got KDB and dealt with that fire later. I regret
that. You had a reason. The reason's called Mo Salah.
Well, I still have him on my bench. No, that's the thing. So I could have had KDB and I had Salah on my bench anyway. Yeah. But I went for Foden. He got 2 points. KDB got 8. It happens, right? But I still think I agree with you. For me, Foden's the better pick long-term, I think, personally, regardless of price.
Dallas brings up a good point here in the chat. He says, Pope is decent because of the doubles, but I wonder if Lowton is the pick for Burnley defense if you want to go there.
Why was he out last week? Was he just rested?
I don't know.
I mentioned Lowton to somebody, and then, hey presto, he didn't start.
So you definitely heard about that one.
Well, yes. Oh, yes. the only bad decisions I normally make this year is on my wife's team.
Oh. Evil laugh.
Second teaming. You could get kicked out of AFPL for that.
Huh?
It's his wife. Only,
she asked me for advice. I tell her to watch the show.
Oh, that's okay.
But she doesn't.
It's better than some. Some people have 5 teams for their animals.
Oh, she plays the game herself. She just asked me, what do I think about this move? And I said, yeah, I think
Don't worry. You don't need to justify it to us. We believe you. We believe you. It's okay.
I'm just fucking with you. I'm just fucking
with you. Myrna really got worried there because he's got that 100.
I'm far more worried about getting hacked with those assholes.
He changes his password 6 times a day, Mariner. That's because he doesn't want
it. My password.
I'm far more worried about hacking than anything else, quite frankly.
My password. My password really 63. 63 huh? characters. 63 characters long. My password is
60.
But like, I think that's good advice to give people on the show. Like, it's. If you can do anything with your AFPL team at the minute, create a unique email address, assign it just to your AFPL team, and pack a secure password. Because these hacks are, you know, they're very commonplace. And I know AFPL is talking about implementing 2FA next year, and it'll be a great change. But for now, I think we have about a personal responsibility and our own security. And it's something we can all do, I think.
All right, I've changed my password 6 times this season.
Have you changed your email address?
No.
We changed our email. I've got an email no one's ever seen or used on any other site before.
What is it?
So it can't be part of another.
What is it?
What? If no one knows this email, so how can they log in, right?
So let me guess what it is. I dress like a twat at gmail.com.
No, I wish, but my original email was the original email was shadynema@gmail.com.
That's apropos.
No, the M&M days, and the you know, the school instructors were like, you can't be applied to university for UCAS with this kind of email. Like, you need a legit email with your name. Luckily, there was other people called like Packy Prince and stuff, so they were worse than me.
You're just about to start a new job, and look what you dressed as.
Yeah, 4 or 5 more days to go till I finish this one. What are you waiting for?
Oh, my. I don't know. Anyway, right. Are we about
to think? Yeah, well, I think we're here to wrap it up, yeah.
Yeah, I think we should. It's 1 o'clock in the morning in Singapore, guys. I'm going to have to go get some beauty sleep. A lot, probably.
Leonard's going to sleep for weeks.
It's been a lot of fun. I have to say,
there'll be a little one going, give me a phone.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah,
all good. Nima, do you want to get us out of here?
Yeah, we'll do. Let's get out of here then. So thanks everyone for tuning in. Hit that like if you haven't already. Hit subscribe to watch the future episodes. And we are available on podcasts wherever you get your pods. In the meantime, though, thank you, Pranil, for joining us. Can you let any listeners who somehow don't know you where to find you?
No, before that, I do want to mention that if you guys have been watching, Marnier is going to hit the top 100 this season. So you want to follow his journey into the upper echelons of those ranks. So make sure you're watching that all right until the end of the season. And all our names are on the screen, and that's where you'll find us. And hit like and subscribe.
Been a pleasure. So Booyakasha, West Side is the best. And I will see you all soon. So hit that like, smash that like, and don't let the door hit you on the way out. Love you all.